What a joy it is to be able to bring this message every week. Very similar message to what I'll be bringing on Sunday morning. I entitled my message as we speak boldly with passion. Now, what do I mean about passion? Well, I sometimes, and when I'm talking to people or doing something or customer service related thing and they're not doing it or don't understand what I'm saying, according to my wife, my voice changes. The tenor of my voice changes. And people think I'm mad, and I'm not. I say, honey, I'm only speaking with passion. Well, you got to speak up, all of us. We got to speak up, and we got to speak loudly and boldly about who you are and what you need that maybe can be changing, especially for those in the history of trauma. Or maybe you've been raised in households in which you got to be quiet, and staying out of the way was your best form of survival. You can be here, but you can't be heard, you know, that kind of thing. But Jesus' message in the scriptures this week seems to indicate that in his presence we are encouraged to speak up. In fact, throughout scripture, God has encouraged those who felt that they had no voice or an inadequate voice to speak boldly and loudly, particularly when it comes to God's will. For that's how God's message will be heard. We got to speak it. Think of the Hebrew prophets for a moment. Nearly every one of them protested taking on this very, very vocal role. For one thing, it could get you killed. And second, none of them ever felt that they were up to the job. Did you ever feel that way when somebody asked you to share the gospel? You know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm up to it. Well, think about Moses. He begged God to send somebody else. Anyone else. He felt he couldn't speak well enough. Did he stutter? Was he shy? Was he nervous? We really don't know. But he definitely didn't want to do it. But in the end, he relented. And he took his brother Aaron along with him for emotional support. And then, look what happened. Poor old Jeremiah, he insisted that he was too young and too inexperienced, and no one would listen to him, he thought. Boy, was he wrong, wasn't he? Samuel, well, he thought God must be kidding when he told him to go behind the king's back and anoint David as king. I'm going to be killed, God, he argued. In the end, he went, and look what happened. Jonah. Good old Jonah. Well, we all know about him, you know, the old guy in the fish. He tried everything to get out of speaking to the Ninevites. God's grace and forgiveness for those rascals were just too much to bear. But God used his meager voice to make a big, loud impact anyway. Now, this all didn't end back then. We think, well, that's the Old Testament stories. In the times to come, if you remember, Ananias would beg the risen Jesus not to send him to retrieve Saul, who had been murdering every Christian that he could get his hands on. And yet, he did. Old Ananias and Saul, turned into Paul, would lead the Gentile mission of the early church. Despite every intent on the part of both the Romans and the Jews alike to shut him up. Even Peter. I like Peter. You know, Peter is always known for sticking his foot in his mouth at the wrong moment, and I kind of relate to that. But Peter, we know him as the rock or the foundation of the church. He ran away from his calling to speak on behalf of Jesus by denying him no less than 3 different times in the wake of his arrest. And yet, he would go on to lead the movement and train others to speak despite the consequences. Even think about Stephen. Now, we don't talk about Stephen much, but Stephen was stoned literally in the midst of his sermon. He spoke until he couldn't. His message has been preserved for posterity. And there's so many others all through scriptures and all through life. And why this pattern again and again? Well, I think this is the thing. When God has something to say, nothing's going to stop God from saying it. And he uses people to do it. The question is this, will you be a part of that message? Will you become part of God's healing salve with the good news story of Jesus and His love? So let's ask ourselves that question for a moment. Seriously, think about it. Are you willing to become part of God's healing salve, the good news story? Are you hesitating sometimes? You wouldn't want to be the first, right? Well, I talk if somebody else talks. That's happened sometimes. Well, I want to make it real. Think about this. Are you willing to speak up for the sake of the gospel? Okay, then what's going on through your head right now? Are you saying, well, what would it entail exactly? What would I have to do? Or maybe you would recoil in fear. Are you shy and hiding and hope that no one notices you? Hopefully no one is slipping quietly out the side door in church. You know, you can't keep out the side door when I got you on the audio. But maybe some people went, oh, I just want to shut that preacher out. You mean there is a way out? Well, I want to be honest now. The question is alarming. And most of the time we avoid it completely because most of us rarely listening. We're busy blocking out God's call in our lives and our churches because like those prophets of old and the saints before us, we are scared sometimes of making waves. I experienced that too, so it's not unique that maybe some feel like, I'm not qualified, I don't want to do this, Lord. Scared of commitment? Well, you got to sign up for it. Scared of the changes in our lives we'll undergo? Frightened of maybe what God will ask us to do with us and for us and through us, or even have to let go of our fears and allow us to speak up? Let's face it, we do not want to be healed. That's human nature. We don't. Not really. Did you ever wonder why Jesus always asked that question? Because in every instant when God or Jesus heals somebody, the next step is this way. They get up, they follow Him with new responsibilities and commitments. Yeah, the reward for speaking up and having your life healed and changed is that you need to live out that change. Look at the scriptures that we've been reading for the last few months for a moment, especially the one this week about healing the blind Bartimaeus. And see what I mean. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, the scripture tells us on purpose, it's telling us about that. Why? Because Timaeus is obviously not taking care of Bartimaeus. Oh, he's the daddy, yeah, but he's not taking care of Bartimaeus. He's a beggar on the street, which means he's ejected from the family, which was the case many times. In fact, most of the time for those who were ill or had incurable diseases or handicaps back then, they couldn't work, so they weren't good for anybody because they couldn't work. They had no practical benefit for the family or society. Not only that, the Jewish authorities taught people that if you were struck with blindness or deafness or muteness or any other kind of disease, then you or your family were essentially cursed by some sort of sin. Remember what they accused Job of? Well, you and other ones, we got to be committed. The ill and the infirm were cast aside to fend many times. We just have to take care of ourselves out on the streets and the marketplaces. Doesn't sound very nice, does it? And when you look around our society now, you see more and more homeless people, and it makes you wonder about our society or the people who profess Christ. You know, why aren't we doing something about it? Well, I don't know. But think about Bartimaeus for a moment. Not only would you have been removed from his family, but shunned by friends in the synagogue or the temple or the church and treated like an outcast. In fact, his very voice is silenced by those around him when he tries to call out to Jesus. Remember in the scripture? Many of them sternly say, hey, be quiet. Don't shout at him. Well, they certainly ordered him to keep his mouth shut, Bartimaeus, and stay away from Jesus, you know, the teacher. Well, Jesus changed that entire dynamic. Just as he called the children to him, remember? He called them to him in set him on his lap. But now he calls Bartimaeus to him as well. Bartimaeus, an outcast and a useless person, what can somebody that can't see? How can they benefit society? Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. Bartimaeus, who has brought shame and embarrassment to his family. Bartimaeus, who had been disowned by everyone, including the entire faith community. Bartimaeus, the one who dares to speak up and who will not be silenced because he knows and understands the grace of God better than anybody that is there, knows and trusts Jesus. He heard about Jesus. He heard about his ministry. He knows that he can trust Jesus because he's heard of the miracles, and he's willing to be healed with all the changes and alterations for his life that it would entail. But Bartimaeus had to speak up, and he did, and his life was never the same. I think most of us don't speak up about who we are and what we need in our lives. Not because we don't want it enough. It's not because we're deathly afraid of consequences from those around us. After all, I think it's pretty bad, right? Well, most of us don't speak up about who we are either and what we need to change our lives because we fear. No, hear this, church. No matter how bad your circumstances, there's a comfort level that we cherish in keeping things the same. There's a comfort when we find the status quo. It's the devil that made me do it, you know. Well, there's a sense of comfort we derive from keeping quiet at times. Our lives may be pretty bad. Our days are very familiar, and we don't know where we belong in our current scenario, or we don't understand what's expected of us in this life, and usually not a whole lot. Well, I digress, and I love the buts. But let Jesus heal you and restore you. Now you need to be an active member of your society and community. You need to become part of an active workplace or church. We need you, guys. You need to forge relationship with the people you have pushed down. Not only that, you need to forgive and find a way to live with those who have rejected you in the past. And you need to follow Jesus. Be a Christ follower. It's a new and dynamic way of life. It's a new way of taking on responsibilities and activities that you may not want to commit to. And all that, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard, but here's the question. How badly do you want to see changes in your life, in your situation, in your church, and in your world? Badly enough to put on your faith in Jesus? That's what Jesus is asking us today. Do you want to change badly enough to allow Jesus to heal you? Think about your answer. For when God takes over, God shapes things up. God is a guaranteed status quo disturber of the peace. You see, when God speaks, the world shakes. And this change, you change. All the people around you change. Now, Jesus' hand of healing is reaching out to you right now. Will you speak up and ask him to be healed? Ask him to see and hear things that you've been able to push aside or ignore in your life. See and hear, people. You're allowing yourself to retreat from or stay away from in your life. See and hear the message and call of God on your life. He loves you and he wants you to be a part of his kingdom. And what God will ask you to do in order to carry on the mission of the world today, you know, it's not a piece of cake, but Jesus, take on my yoke and it'll be easy. Be bold. Speak boldly. The scriptures tell us nearly as many times, you hear it a lot, when, fear not, for I am with you, saith the Lord. Well, this is God's outstretched hand, and he will lead you into a place of healing and restoration, potential growth, and a different kind of future. A future that includes eternal life. Why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want to be healed and experience the peace that passes all understanding? And the assurance, the blessed assurance, as Fanny Crosby saying, the blessed assurance of Jesus and blessed assurance of eternal life. Wow. So what will it be? Challenge. Keep quiet or speak up? I think Jesus has the answer. He always does. You know what Jesus said? Speak up. Do it. I dare you. In Jesus' precious name. Thanks for tuning in. Love to see you in church in person sometime soon. God loves you and so do we.